Some of you have agreed, some of you have disagreed. We've had lots of conversations, but we can all agree that Maria Sima has taken us on quite a journey of learning. She has taught us so much about the souls in purgatory. She has challenged us and maybe put things and teachings of the church in ways that we did not think of, stirring some of us to anger, some of us to faith, and some of us to grow deeper in love with the souls in purgatory. In today's video, which will be two parts, this is the first part where we explore the final chapter. In the second part, we will look at exhortations and warnings directly and dictated by the souls in purgatory. Please join me in today's video. As we always do, let's begin with a prayer. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. St. Maximilian Kolbe, pray for us. My friends, this is a channel Uniquely Mary, and it is a joy to be here with you today on this being filmed on a Saturday. My name is Alvaro, and we have journeyed through this book, Get Us Out of Here. I highly recommend it. Check out the link below. And this book was one of the first books, if not the first book, that I read on purgatory, and it planted a seed that has blossomed into this wonderful love for them. And as in many things, I have received so much more from their prayers than they have received from mine. Nevertheless, I keep praying for them, offering masses for them, and encouraging others to do so. So in the final chapter, chapter 28, I believe, Suffering and Reparation, Maria Sima gives us some final advice on some of these different topics through these questions asked to her by Nikki Eltz. So let's continue. If we were to ask of Jesus that we do our purgatory here on earth, does he answer this request? She says, one should not say always, but often yes, it does happen. I know of a case where a priest and a woman were in the same hospital together. Both were very ill, but could still get up and spend time together. They went often outside together and got to know each other quite well. The woman, who was not old, told the priest that she had asked exactly that of Jesus, that she could suffer enough while still here to go to heaven straight away. To this, the priest said, oh, I would not dare ask that. It's just a bit too challenging. No, the woman said, if I ask that of my Jesus, I trust him that he will grant me this wish. A religious sister there knew both of them and knew that the woman had often spoken those words. So it happened that the young woman died first, and then soon after the priest did too. A short time later, the priest appeared to the sister and told her that had he been as trusting and devout as that woman, he too would have gone straight to heaven without any time in purgatory. Wow. So yeah, we'll hear of people saying, be careful what you ask for, but not with Jesus, because we love him and we trust him, right? We need to give him an opportunity to show us just how trustworthy he is. So I suggest to you to ask Jesus to send you your purgatory here on earth. Along with that, he will send you the graces that you need to carry it, but also the fruit of it, that it will exude and pour out holiness through you and to other people so that you can become a saint here on earth and not just have to wait till heaven, but that you could become a living saint, a shining light to other people. And as the request implies, it involves suffering, but if we trust Jesus, he will help us to carry it along with the prayers of the souls in purgatory. Do entire towns or even nations get punished, or as you prefer to put it, are dealt reparation by God for the sins in their past? And Maria Sima says, yes, they do. But the next question, so if everyone in the West today confessed their own sins and quickly went about praying and doing extra reparation with good deeds for the relatively immediate ancestry, the reparation you say God is soon sending to us would be dramatically diminished. Do I understand this correctly? Maria Sima says, yes, this is true, and it's that simple. Pray and confess, and then pray too for your deceased family. do some extra good deeds for them, then God will lessen the reparation that he now has planned and which will come without people's advanced knowledge. My friends, I would say that probably you might have some argument here, but COVID is reparation for our sins. It's affected the United States more than most any country in the world. We can lessen it through our prayers, through our confession of our sins, and by offering atonement and reparation for the sins of our ancestors. Maria Sima was asked the question if she ever takes on suffering personally from the souls in purgatory. And this is the question: are you willing to speak about this? Maria Sima says this: Jesus never gives us more than we can take. A long time ago now, a priest came and said that if I take on 3 hours of suffering, that it was going to save him 20 years in purgatory. I said yes, because my priest told me I should take all that is requested of me, and I always have. Soon I was in a pain that consumed every inch of my body so entirely that I was immobile and unable to realize my whereabouts. But a joy stayed in my heart, because it remained very clear to me that this would bring, what this would bring for the priest. Still, after a while, I thought this had to be 3 days rather than 3 hours. Then as suddenly as it came, it also left. I realized that I had stayed, of course, where I had been all along. I looked at my watch and it had been 3 hours, and that to the very minute. At other times, it is a local pain. Once, for instance, my right arm hurt for a long time, and no matter what I did or how I held it, it remained the same. This turned out to be for a soul who had mishandled someone's will, and of course that would entail the arm and hand with which he wrote and worked. When we take on sufferings with God's love for us, everything becomes possible, and then the very best of fruits come from them. Suffering, in other words, the cross without love is too heavy, but love without a cross does not exist. Do you think that the sufferings you take on voluntarily are similar to the sufferings in purgatory? Maria Sima responds, yes, they seem to me. My body, once the sufferings have left, carries no scars or any other lasting effects on them. So that means it is entirely in the soul, and that's what makes me think that they are very similar. What else can you say about suffering? And listen to what she says here. Second only to life itself, and the time in which to do good while we are here, suffering is the biggest gift from God there is. While suffering here, we still receive the grace to do good deeds, but once we are in purgatory, that is over forever. Suffering always heals something, and we must trust in God that it is always for our good and for his glory. There is one enormous grace that comes with suffering that I'd like to emphasize. It is in suffering that people find each other and find each other's hearts. In suffering, the other person becomes the important one, and without suffering, most people tend to think only of themselves first. The West has this problem to a great degree, and in the reparation that God will soon bring upon the West, people will again find each other in their suffering. That will be a good and will bring out the best of people who are now only thinking about their next and bigger house or car. This too is a cleansing process. So very often, what is at first considered a disaster ends up an enormous grace and gift from God. My friends, I think we could safely say that that was the most powerful paragraph in the whole book, and we could apply it to some of the things happening now in the world.